So I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers, sisters in Christ, your King is coming. Think about that proclamation. Your King is coming. The people that afternoon greeted Jesus as King. The King come to his city. Never mind the donkey, the lack of a crown, the shabbiness of his followers. The crowd hailed Jesus as their King. And when a King comes to a city, what does he do? He goes to his palace. He takes his throne. Now, you need to know that the word about Jesus' triumphant entry certainly got back to the Sanhedrin, the ruling council of the Jews in Judea. You can imagine their reaction. How dare he? We're in charge here. Who made him king? Who does he think he is? We're going to take care of him once and for all. And the word also would have gotten back to the Romans. You might remember that they had taken control of Judea some 90 years earlier, and they had no intention of letting it go. They had seen so-called Jewish kings before and dealt with them. And now it seemed there was another one to be made an example of. Rome determined who was king, not the Jews. But the crowds, they didn't care. He was their king. Now, we don't know what all they were expecting that day, but if we have our history more or less right, they weren't expecting Jesus to be a suffering servant. More likely, they thought he was finally going to make Jerusalem a shining city on a hill and get rid of the corrupt and craven shepherds who had made themselves fat off the people. Thought they might dispatch the Gentile Romans who shamefully dominate God's chosen people. A new day was dawning. Great things were just over the horizon. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Everyone more or less reacted for or against Jesus as if he was coming to them like a king of this world. Again, never mind his apparent humility, a notable lack of an army. The Sanhedrin, the Romans, the crowds, they all expected Jesus to do what kings always do. Exercise power and authority and rule, amass glory, seek to impress. None of them understood that Jesus was not come to conquer the world, but to save it. He came humble, weak, having no power or glory according to this world because he was not going to force people to submit to his rule and authority. Rather, he was come to save all by paying the ransom all owed. He was, is a king. And he does what kings do. He saves his people and vanquishes the enemy. But he does it in the way that no one expected. And for a moment this morning, just consider the drama of this scene, right? Jesus coming to his city, the people cheering, the Romans and the Sanhedrin scowling. Try to see it in your mind's eye. Jesus on donkey, surrounded by the crowd, palm branches waving, shouts of Hosanna filling the air. See that, and then see Jesus in the midst of all of it, still and quiet. All that exuberance as the procession moved slowly up the road from the Kidron Valley toward the eastern gate of the city. Jesus moved along with that crowd, knowing everything. And that's the real drama here. He rode up to the city gate, and he did so knowing that in a matter of days, those shouts of Hosanna would turn into crucify. He knew that he would be betrayed by one of the disciples, denied by another, and abandoned by all. He knew he would receive no justice at his trial before Pilate. He knew about the cross, about the nails. That afternoon, Jesus knew everything. He knew the ordeal that he would undergo that would press him to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He knew all of that, and he still rode on into the very mouth of death. That's the wonder of this moment, and that is its strength. Why did Jesus go on in spite of knowing everything that awaited him? Because he was sent by the Father to do this very thing, to be our Savior, to pay our ransom, to give himself up for us. He went because he loves us. He loves you, each one of you, and would leave nothing undone that needed to be done to redeem every last one of us. He would leave no one behind. And the drama is not just in Jesus' determination despite what lay before him. It is also in this, that he went on to redeem us and give himself up for us despite our often lukewarm faith, our frequently divided loyalties, our stubborn prejudices, our loveless scorn for some around us. He went on to save us despite our sin, our corruption, our lack of deserving. He loved, he loves us no matter how unlovable we may be. And so the question to us this day, as we head into Holy Week and look forward to the Paschal Feast, this day as our King comes to us, the question to us is this. Do we receive Jesus with joy or apprehension? Do we rejoice to receive the King come to save us and give us life, to give us his life? Or do we have fear of this King who comes to take our old life away from us and kill our old nature and give us a life that is conformed to his will and his alone? My friends, Jesus is come to save. He brings you what you could never get for yourself. He loves you, and there's nothing to fear in him. So greet your King, receive his gifts, share his life, and follow him this week to the cross and to the empty tomb. Amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.